If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to our scripture reading for this morning. Scripture reading is found in the Psalms, the book of Psalms, Psalm 90, and reading verses 1 to 12. This is Psalm 90. We're reading verses 1 to 12. And hear now the word of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, "Return, O children of man." For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood, and they are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning, and in the evening it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and it withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger, by your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh, and the years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. And yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. May God add to our understanding this portion from his holy word. Well, believe it or not, the holidays are almost over. I mean, it just comes and goes so quickly, it seems. It seems like just yesterday that we were planning for Thanksgiving and getting ready for everything, putting up our decorations and getting ready for Christmas, and then just like that, it's all over. It's over. On Thursday, we celebrate New Year's Day, enter into a new year, 2026, and then we have what some people call the dark void, as those winter months when there are no holidays, nothing happens, it's dark because it's winter time. Those are the dark, or the dark void, as some of them call it. But you know, as 2025 is ending, as it's coming to an end, and I always think about those graphics that they have of the old year as an old man with a long white beard walking along, and then the new year, this new baby, just a graphic to kind of show us that the new year is brand new, never been used before. It's a time of reflection, really. I mean, we look back on everything that's taken place in 2025. And there have been some great times and there have been some hard times. But as we look back personally, we can look back of what it is that we were able to accomplish during this past year, 2025. Were you able to accomplish everything that you had planned to do in this year? Are you ready to plunge into a new year, 2026? Maybe take some of those unfinished items back here from 2025, carry them over into the new year? You know, I think about Charles Dickens' work, The Christmas Carol, and I think every Christmas we enjoy watching The Christmas Carol in a number of different versions. And one that we really enjoy is one from the 1950s. It had Alistair Sims as Scrooge. And for some reason, that it just really seems to embody what Charles Dickens was trying to say during that time. And you know, there was a point when Marley's ghost came and appeared to Scrooge and told him that his time was short, that his life had been misspent. And if you remember, Marley had this huge chain that he was dragging. And Scrooge says, "What is this ponderous chain you're carrying?" And Marley said, "This chain I forged in this life, link by link." And Scrooge said, well, it's horrible that you have to carry that. And he said, your chain was as long as this 7 years ago, and you've worked on it since. Basically telling him that you're going to suffer the consequences of your own decisions and your own actions. You know, the Bible speaks to this issue. It talks about this. It speaks about the fact that we need to redeem the time because the days are evil. It talks about the fact that we have to number our days. Our text this morning, Psalm 90, very interesting. First of all, this is the only psalm that can be verified as being written by Moses himself. This was not written by David. Most of the psalms were. This psalm was written by Moses himself. And more than likely, it was written in his later years. By that, I mean later in life for Moses. And later in his life, after he had been denied permission to enter into the promised land. And during that time, he'd endured a number of very difficult, hard situations in his life. One of them being his sister Miriam, who died, who passed away just prior to this. And then the people came to him and they were complaining because they didn't have any water and they were dying of thirst. And they were saying, why did you lead us out here into this terrible place where we're all going to perish because there isn't any water? And Moses went in and with Aaron and prayed to God. This is found in Numbers chapter 20. Prayed to God, you know, Lord, please answer this. Give us water. We have to have water. And the Lord told him what to do. He said, go in and speak to the rock, and the rock will produce water for you. Well, Moses, instead of speaking to the rock, took his staff and struck it. God was not pleased with Moses. And so as a result, Moses was denied entrance into the Holy Land. It was Joshua that actually led the chosen people into the promised land, and not Moses. Moses died just before entering in. But you know, even through this experience and through all the heartache that Moses had gone through, he continued to trust in God, continued to believe in him, never blamed God, but rather recognized his own failings, his own failures. Verses 1 and 2 here of our text this morning is proof of that. He says this, Lord, you've been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth or ever, you had formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, your God. You know, it almost stands as a testimony to us because there are times when we think, well, when God is good to me, I praise him. When he's not good to me, I curse him. So many people will say, I don't even believe in God. I don't believe there is a God. But then when they come against a tragedy or sickness or whatever, then they shake their fist and say, God, why are you doing this to me? Oh, you mean the God you don't believe in? He's the one that's doing that to you. See, Moses didn't do that. Moses said, I know that you're everlasting. I know that you have been our dwelling place in all generations. From everlasting to everlasting, you're God. You're the one. And in this, what he's basically saying is, you are everlasting, but we're not. In fact, we're frail. We're not almighty. We have difficulties. We have struggles. We have problems. We have fears. We have worries. All these things we have to deal with. You know, in Psalm 103, verses 15, it gives us a picture of who we really are on this earth. He says, as for man, this is Psalm 103, beginning in verse 15. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower in the field, for the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. Now, we see the same thing basically in James chapter 4 and verse 4, where it talks about the fact that we're on this earth only for a very short time. It says, this is James 4, verse 14. It says, what is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then it vanishes. You know, we've been watching lately on YouTube and on some other channels, these movie stars and politicians and others that are so puffed up with their own importance. We heard this one comedian that looked out and saw these young women, and she happened to say, I just love young women this age in their 20s because they still think they matter. And the truth is, none of us matter. We matter to God because he loves us, because he cares for us. But in the scope of things, we're just dust. We're just like the grass of the field that flourishes and then it dies and it's gone. Moses reminds us here that our time on earth is really brief. He says this in verse 10 of our text this morning. He says, the years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. And he uses, in King James especially, 70. A score is 20 years. 70 is 70, or 80 if by reason of strength. How many times have you heard people say, people died a lot younger back then? No, they didn't. No, they didn't. Now, there were diseases and wars and other things that took people out at a younger age. But the average lifespan was between 70 and 80. What is it today? Pretty close. We're living longer because of better health care and better medical procedures. We're living longer, but the Lord says, I'm giving you this time on earth. Take care of yourself, stay healthy, and you will live over time. 70 or even 80 years old. Now, I know some of us are getting pretty close to 80. Some are looking back on it. I really like being in this church, I got to tell you, because I'm 78 years old and I'm looking at people that are 10, 15 years older than me and I'm saying, praise the Lord. This is great. But the truth is, we have this short time. What is 70 or 80 years compared to eternity? And the truth is, for this little tiny period of time that we're here on earth, eternity stands in the balance. And this is what Moses was saying. He's saying we're going to be judged by that, by what we do, by what we have chosen to do with our lives, how we have chosen to spend our days on this earth. That's why he tells us, he encourages us to number our days. Number our days. Teach us to number our days. Verse 12. See, now how can we number our days if we don't know when we're going to die? Well, you know, insurance companies have these tables. They call them actuarial tables. And these actuarial tables give averages. And they'll say, you know, if you were born in this state and you've done this in your life, you're going to die between this age and this age. You know, and they're always so matter of fact, you know, like they know because they have these tables. They know when you're going to die. But you know, the truth of the matter is, only God knows how long we will live and when we're going to die. And to me, it's always great when we can beat the actuarial tables. I even heard this story about this doctor that called this individual, and he told this man, well, we just received the results of your recent tests, and the results tell us that you're going to die in 24 hours. And the man said, that's terrible. And he said, well, I've got more bad news. I forgot to call you yesterday. Now, you know, this is why Moses asks God, requests that God teach us to number our days. You know, God uses his word to teach us forever. The more we immerse ourselves in God's word, the more we gain wisdom. Now, there's a great difference between knowledge and wisdom. But God grants us wisdom through the knowledge of him. And that's why Moses said, Lord, teach us. You know, Psalm 119, verse 104, says this. He says, though through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. And also Peter tells us this. This is in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. And this is one of those hallmark verses. This is a verse that, you know, if you're ever going to stitch anything on a pillow, this is probably a good one to do. 2 Peter 1, 3, it says, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. Might run out of thread doing that onto a pillow, but, you know, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. That means God's willing to tell us all that we need to know to be able to live righteous lives before him. Nothing is hidden from us, and it's there in his word. Now, next week, I try to do this every year on the first Sunday of the new year, and that is to have Bible study through the Bible, Bible study charts available. I don't have them today. We'll have them next Sunday. But it just says, read these verses, and you'll go through the entire Bible in a year. And I think that's just a great way to immerse ourselves in God's word. It's not hard to do because they're not huge sections, but it just puts us in touch with God and what he says in his word. You know, David also went beyond that in the Psalms, and he asked the Lord to show him what's coming up, what's going to happen in his life. This is in Psalm 34 and verses 4 and 5. Psalm 34, verses 4 and 5. And it says this, O Lord, make me know my end, and what is the measure of my days? Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you have made my days a few hand's breadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. Now, what he's saying here is, let me know my end. He's not saying, Lord, tell me how I'm going to die. That's not what he's saying. Basically, he's saying, Lord, give me some indication about how much more time I have. Let me know, what is the span here? Is it short? Is it long? Give me some kind of indication. And what he really wanted to know was, how much time do I have left to do what you've called me to do on this earth? I don't know if we even think about that most of the time. But God has given us certain things to do. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 talks about the fact that God has prepared good works for us beforehand that we might walk in them. And so I think David was saying, Lord, let me know how much more time I have so I can get the work done, so I can be everything you want me to be. Imagine approaching our lives that way. But that's what we're called to do. You know, the old question always comes up, what would you do differently in your life if you knew you had 1 week to live? What would you take care of? Who would you contact? And you see, Moses put all this into perspective at the very end, he said, so teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Now, like I said, wisdom is not knowledge. Wisdom, for the most part, is the application of knowledge. You know, Paul told us at 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, he said, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And we would see these people that are so full of themselves, they are so important, looking down on the peons out there. You know, I know that that has to make God sick when he sees his creation puffing themselves up in such a great way. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Wisdom is the application of what God has taught us, what he has shown us. And basically, wisdom causes us to see life around us, life from God's perspective. That's wisdom. You know, the word in Greek, the word for wisdom, is the word Sophia. Sophia. Like Sophia Loren, you know, names like that. Sophia is the Greek word for wisdom. And from out of that, we get words like philosophy. Phile, that means brotherly love. And Sophie, so it means the wisdom to know how to love. That's supposed to be what philosophy stands for, what the word itself means. Certainly hasn't come to mean that in our generations. The Hebrew word is translated as philosophy is different. It's the word chukma. And it speaks about a divine order of things. It talks about a moral discernment in life. And you see, this is what the writer of Proverbs, which is Solomon, this is what he meant in Proverbs chapters 2 and 3. Both of those early chapters in the book of Proverbs deal with the whole subject of wisdom and how important wisdom is. Proverbs 3:13 says, blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding. And in every way, Solomon was saying, if you desire anything at all in this world, desire wisdom. Desire to know how to live your life before God, that he might bless you. You know, basically, wisdom causes us to make the most of our time. So much of our life is spent in foolish endeavors, in things that really don't matter in the long run. I think I've mentioned before a little booklet entitled Tyranny of the Urgent. And the thrust of this book is, this little booklet, is that we spend our time on the urgent things instead of the important things. And to be able to make that determination, what is it that's important? What is it that'll be important 5 years from now or 10 years from now? Instead of me wasting my time on foolishness, how can I make every minute count? And you see, this is what Paul was saying to the Ephesians. This is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. And he said this, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Now, you know, without a doubt, it's Satan's plan to try to get us focused on other things that really aren't that important, to spend our lives trying to resolve issues that really, in the long run, don't matter, instead of spending more time on those issues that do matter, pouring our lives into other people, giving ourselves to others, being everything that God has created us to be. Our time here on earth is limited. really, we don't have that much time. I'm not trying to be morose or anything else, but you stop and think, all right, we've just gone through the Christmas season. How many more do we have left? You know, if I'm 78, how long normally would I live? What do I have, maybe 10 more Christmases? Maybe less? Maybe a little more? When you start to look at life that way and you realize we're not going to live forever. We're not going to be on this earth forever. The Lord may come. He could come anytime. That'd be great. If not, well, then we will go the way of all flesh. And that is, in time, we'll join those who have gone before us. So what are we doing with that time? With the time that we have left, with the days that God has given us here on this earth. You see, now we're ending a year. We're ending 2025. And we're looking forward to 2026. And I know a lot of times people like to make resolutions, New Year's resolutions, most of which are broken within the first couple of days. But we have resolutions. Why don't we resolve in 2026, to be everything that God has called us to be, within our power, within our ability, but to search our hearts and to dedicate ourselves to Him and to that purpose, to be the people that He's called us to be the church that He's called us to be. You see, I believe that God will honor that. I think that if we mean business with Him, we're going to see His blessing. So our goal, 2026, be all that God's called us to be. Lord, teach us to number our days, that You may give us a heart of wisdom. Let's bow as we pray. Gracious Father, again, we are so grateful and thankful to You that You've called us to this place. Lord, we thank You for the days that You've given us. And Lord, we ask that with all our hearts that we would strive to make them count, that we would give ourselves to You. You are our Lord. You have purchased us with a price. And Lord, I pray that it would be our desire to live for You, to be the people, to be the church that You've called us to be. And we thank You and praise You for this in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
If you would, please stand and we will sing our final hymn, number 368, Speak, O Lord. We'll do the first two verses now and the third one after the benediction. Please stand.
Thank you.
please bow for benediction. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you, and the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.